This episode of Modern Manhood is brought to you by the Well Endowed Podcast. On the latest episode of the Well Endowed Podcast, the team speaks about millennials and technology, kind of a thing that we're speaking about today as well in the episode. Correspondent Emily Rendell Watson talks with Carly Drew, Marina Bannister, and Stephen Robinson to explore the impact technology is having on a millennial generation. You can find the Well Endowed Podcast at thewellendowedpodcast.com. That's thewellendowedpodcast.com. This episode of Modern Manhood is also brought to you by the Calgary Foundation. Whether it's funding anti-racism programs, addiction recovery, or food hampers for the hungry, for 65 years, the Calgary Foundation has proudly supported the charitable community to address some of Calgary's biggest challenges. Now, during this period of unprecedented urgent needs, Calgary Foundation renewed its commitment to building a healthy, vibrant, giving, caring, and resilient community. If you are a registered charity looking for a grant, a professional advisor creating a giving plan for your client, or a donor wanting to give back to the community, discover a wealth of resources at calgaryfoundation.org and learn more about their work through Calgary Foundation's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. It's the middle of September, and in the Northern Hemisphere, for the most part, it's time to go back to school. But of course, these days, it's not that simple. COVID-19 has made education for all a different beast. It's another layer of hardship in an already struggling profession. If you don't know already, I used to be a professional educator before. That's what I graduated from university for, education. I still work in some schools, albeit in a different capacity in my day-to-day life. And honestly, some days I still miss being a teacher. I also feel like the education system in North America is kind of broken. Or at the very least, on the verge of being broken. School has looked the same now compared to when I went to school and compared to when my parents went to school. Sure, there's some technological advancements like the integration of computers into learning as well as, you know, things like smart boards and classrooms. But the actual way we do teaching, the sitting at a desk and listening to a teacher talk or give lesson, has pretty much stayed the same. We still do tests the same. We still do classrooms the same for the most part. And hell, some of the teachers have been the same for ages as well. The governments of these nations that usually are the ones making decisions regarding educational practices are not helping either. And it's been shown its ugly head when it comes to issues of health, safety, working conditions for teachers, including salaries, educational conditions for students of all ages, backgrounds, and abilities. How these governments have responded to COVID and the back-to-school plan shows how easily the system can break, and how no one has any idea of how to fix it. Students missing more than a year of school because of COVID would be a terrible tragedy. But making children go to a place that is overcrowded in buildings that usually lack the infrastructure to maintain health standards, with people who are usually underpaid and overworked, it's also not the best option either. So the collective response has been a massive shrug. And this issue, which has been so heavily researched, documented, talked about at length for many, many years, has not been resolved. And we're hurting because of it. Our young people are hurting because of it. Today, we talked to someone who was a teacher and quit. This is Modern Manhood. Modern Manhood is brought to you by Next Gen Men and the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. If you want to support Next Gen Men in redefining and undefining what it means to be a man, you can head on over to nextgenmen.ca. Your contributions support the promotion of positive masculinities, healthy relationships, and gender equity among the next generation of men. Again, head on over to nextgenmen.ca. And if you want to support Modern Manhood, head on over to our Patreon page. We're starting in 2020. We're going to have some extra content for you. A Patreon-exclusive podcast called Modern Manhood Extra. You'll have exclusive interviews and new content that you will not hear in the normal feed. And half the earnings will go to Next Gen Men. So you'll be helping me and Next Gen Men do their thing. Head on over to patreon.com/modernmanpod. As well, on October 2nd, I'll be hosting a panel called Storytelling and Social Justice for the Edmonton Podcast Festival. So you can join me, Mark Pagan, and Rebecca Seidel from Other Men Need Help, amazing podcast, and Rose Eva Forks Jenkins from the Unheard Youth Podcast to talk about storytelling and social justice in a podcasting sense. Check us out at yagpodfest.ca.
Hi, my name is Garrett Carlson. I am the founder of Dudefluencer.com, and I'm a former teacher.
This is Garrett. He's an ex-teacher, as he said, and now runs a website called Dude Influencer. Garrett's story about how he was introduced to the educational system and how he left, it's a good story to anchor this episode in. It also helps that he runs a website about masculinity as well.
It's kind of a lot of things all at once. It started off as sort of just me writing about masculinity and friendship and really whatever topics about being a man that came to mind, in the sense of, I love this quote, and I don't know who said it, but they said, be the writer you needed when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm writing articles, I think back to not even when I was a kid, but you know, in my 20s, who I needed and who I wanted, because I didn't fit a lot of those traditional male gender norms that some of my other friends did. Mm-hmm. And I felt really uncomfortable when I tried to, you know, fit in with them.
Right.
And I also recognized that I was feeling pain and I didn't know how to express my loneliness. There's probably someone else who feels the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if I just start writing about it and, you know, adding my personality to it, maybe I'll find someone who, you know, can relate and can feel similar. And so that's where really Dudefluencer started. And now what I'm really excited about is we're starting a community where we're going to have, you know, face-to-face meetings. I'm really excited for when coronavirus ends, we can do sort of like these men's retreats.
Yeah.
And really kind of just provide outlets for men to figure out who they want to be. And I think one of the things that I try and separate myself from some of the other men's groups out there is I'm a little bit sillier and I want to have more fun.
Right.
Because life is stressful.
Yeah.
And difficult. And personal development is usually not a ton of fun. But it's also really important. And, you know, if we can mix all of them together, why not? And have these much larger conversations of sort of how we can change ourselves and
changing the world and changing ourselves. This is what Garrett wants to do with Dude Influencer in his own way. But isn't that what you want to do when you want to be a teacher? Garrett's introduction to teaching started out oh so well.
And I remembered how impactful my English teachers were to me. And after that first semester of sort of education school, people, I want to give young people the same impact that I was given. And that's from there, it kind of just went off. And I loved my graduate school. I loved the education background. My professors were fantastic and very progressive in terms of their like no packet policy.
What's a no packet policy?
So the idea is one of the things that always kind of bothered me as a teacher was when teachers would pretty much put up maybe a PowerPoint, give the kids a packet and say,
right, okay,
you know, I'm going to teach something. I'm going to just kind of read this PowerPoint and you're just going to fill out. And my professors were very much about experience and like get the students involved as immersive as possible. And it kind of hit all of those really important needs for me that
right.
need to be a performer, that need to help, that need to learn and grow. It just hit everything I was looking for.
For myself, I wanted to become a teacher because I really thought I could be successful in that field. I cared a lot about teaching and communicating ideas and concepts in a way that were interesting, different. I cared about teaching young people. I think of myself as a good communicator for young people at the very least. You know, they don't think I'm too much of a dork. I hope not. And I think that they can talk to me. I'm really proud about that. I also cared about the people that were in classrooms and having them learn something that maybe they might not have been interested in the first place. You see, I was a math teacher, and everyone hates math. There's still a lot of people that have a guttural reaction to math. It's still a process for a lot of math teachers, but I thought because I knew a lot of other ideas that I could make math at the very least tolerable. Also knew that math is, and still is, considered a very masculine type of discipline. There's still a consideration that if you're good at math, then you're almost a genius, which doesn't get given the same credence with other disciplines. You know, if you are a good writer, if you're really good at history, for example, you're not considered a genius. But math, you are. And because a lot of women didn't like math or weren't good as math, or that was their perception, they were thought to be a part of the so-called soft sciences, like humanities, for example. There's a lot to be said to make math gender balanced or gender inclusive would help the majority of disciplines studied in schools to be gender inclusive. Betty Lou, a young woman, in a TED talk, describes this idea perfectly.
Teachers often think differently of students of different genders in math. I have encountered this before. Since I was young, I had always been in front of the class in math. I was able to understand the concepts my classmates don't, solve complex problems, and score well on tests. For that reason, I decided to take a test for an advanced math class in a math learning center. After I passed, the teacher looked at me and asked, "You passed that test?" That moment, I was stunned. My first intention was to think if I had accidentally violated some rules. I asked, "Why would I not?" He looked at me with a puzzled expression and replied, "You're a girl." That was such a nonsense statement, was what I thought at first. But when I thought more, I realized my parents have once told me the same thing, just not as directly. Though girls have often weaker spatial abilities, a study has shown that after the training of 116 children in grade 1, gender differences have been eliminated. Here, an interesting point is seen. The potential of spatial ability in the two genders are equal. Only current performance is different. Another gender difference in math is the attitude students have about math. The gender gap in math confidence is larger than the gap in interest and achievement. Girls have often higher levels of math anxiety and lower levels of math confidence. Even when girls perform the same in math as boys, they are usually less assured of their answers. This explains why boys often raise their hand more in math than girls.
Garrett thought about race when he was teaching.
In the sense of, when I think back to sort of the English curriculum, students really don't get a say in a lot of what they're taught.
Mm-hmm.
The immediate thought is a lot. If we as English teachers only teach the classics, we're teaching, to put it as bluntly as possible, we're teaching a bunch of dead white guys.
Yep.
And our student population is far more diverse than that.
Yep.
And like, I get why we're going to teach the Scarlet Letter. I'm going to be bored. But
did you tell your students that you're like, you know what, we're going to, curriculum says I need to teach the Scarlet Letter, but I'll tell you what, like, it's a boring thing.
Yeah, and I got in trouble all the time for it. Because, you know, I would always tell my students, I would be like, all right, you know, I just keep this in the room. Let's not tell anyone. And, you know, the bell would ring and immediately my phone would ring from the teacher and my team.
Oh, you see what Mr. Carlson said? Yeah, I got it.
And I was terrible about it. But I also, and that's, again, me being a poor teammate and very stubborn. Right. But that being said, something that I always found really, really important for my students was providing them with, okay, I have to teach this classic novel. I'm going to teach The Great Gatsby. I personally love The Great Gatsby. You may not. That's, you know, totally fine. You might not relate to it. But the reason why I'm going to teach this book is because there's some really important skills that you can pull from it. And then what I want you to do is take your book, whatever book you choose that you find engaging, and I want you to apply those skills yourself. So it's a mix of both in that, yeah, I'm giving you this background information that you might not appreciate now. You may appreciate it more later. But I'm also now giving you the opportunity to apply it in a way that makes sense.
The politics of teaching, the systems of teaching, are something that's hard to get around, to be honest. I face this myself, and Garrett obviously has faced it as well.
So I think actually this is, I love teaching, and I think this is the exact reason why I could never be a teacher again, is because of everything that is not teaching. I do feel pretty lucky that I had some good administrators, but at the end of the day, you know, I had a certain vision for what I wanted to do and what I believed this program could be, and they didn't necessarily share it. And, you know, at times it would be a variety of different things being told to me all at once, which was really, really difficult. And, you know, my mentor, the person who hired me, my first year ended up leaving after the first year due to other stuff happening. And then, of course, there is not only that, but also the just sort of curriculum in general in terms of, so as a creative writing teacher, I kind of had the ability to create my own curriculum, but also knowing that I can't really change a whole lot about the English curriculum that
right.
I'm super stubborn and I will dig my heels into the sand. And, you know, I'm very opinionated. I know that. And right. I know people won't agree with me. But, you know, I'm trying to teach my kids how to do creative writing and someone else is teaching them like 5-paragraph essays. And I'm like pulling my hair out of my head. because I'm like, no, we could do this and that. And,
right.
There just isn't a lot of room for change. Whether it is the, you know, the state expectations, the parental expectations, student expectations. There's just all these different expectations. And at the end of the day, as a teacher, you kind of don't know who your boss is. Is it the administration? Is it the county? Is it a parent? Is it the students?
There isn't a lot of room for change. It's exactly how I felt. And exactly how I feel now about the education system. It's become this monster of a beast that keeps lumbering along. That in some ways it's become easier to just tolerate it and do, you know, adjustments that we can live with it rather than to take care of it or kill it, regardless of the effort it may take. In that respect, the education system and all the pieces that surround it right now are ill-equipped to face hardships, and the people that prop up this system or even in charge to do something about it either don't see the problem or see the huge problem to find the task to be so insurmountable that it seems hopeless. That leads to overworked teachers, students who feel underserved, parents who want this to succeed but have no choice in the matter, and everyone just wanting it to be over. Teachers, though, I admire the hell out of them. I know a bunch, and they are some of the hardest working individuals I have ever met. They work countless of hours with either no overtime or very little compensation for their time. They deal with everyone's child. You know, the bright one with the well-supported family to the ones whose lack of support allow them to lash out in dangerous ways. They see thousands and thousands of kids in a career and have to treat everyone like it's their own. Beyond that, they have to be expert communicators, expert organizers, expert social workers, and basically create an entertaining show 8 hours a day, every weekday, and sometimes on weekends. I also get frustrated at some educators, sometimes, that they forgot what it's like for them to be a kid, or to be a teenager, or to be young. That they forget that it was hard to juggle your social responsibilities of being a good friend, a good student, when you're just learning how to be social in the first place. Or they forget that kids have parents too, and the parents love them, and they all deserve love, no matter what. No matter if that kid has swore at you 20 times. I get frustrated when they compare their knowledge to the youth's knowledge. I get frustrated when they think tests are all what matter in the world, or that the best way to teach is the one that's happening at that time, you know, reading a textbook or watching a video at a desk with 30 of your colleagues. At the same time, being a teacher can be a frustrating and sometimes lonely existence, especially as a male teacher, with friendships a little bit more harder to come by.
Helping other people was really important to me. So even though I wasn't a teacher, that contribution to others was something really significant. And also, I discovered that I think the hardest thing that I discovered was that I was really lonely. I had quote unquote friends, but it was those shoulder to shoulder friendships that we're going to talk about football and sports,
right,
and drink a beer and then go home. And at the same time, I'm seeing my therapist, I'm on antidepressants. My poor wife is having to listen to me, like, figure out all this stuff.
Right.
And I think that was probably the most difficult thing to recognize, that in that moment, even as a teacher, even being surrounded by all these people, I was really lonely.
Think back to when you were in school. Think back to the best teachers you've had. What made them great? Was it because they cared about you as a person? Was it because they were funny? Was it because they treated everyone equally? Or was it because you learned so much from them? Think about how hard that may be to do, or to keep up when you're feeling lonely, upset, frustrated by the system, the people in power, or just by the daily hard grind.
A lot of it was what I perceived I needed to be. I thought, okay, I have this college degree. It cost me plenty of money that I'm going to be paying off for who knows how long. And I did really well in education school, to the point where, you know, everyone when I graduated was like, all right, you're going to be the star. You're going to be the superstar.
Right.
And, you know, I put that on me, and it was just really, really hard for me to accept that I wasn't that person.
Right.
And it was also admitting that the students deserved better, like accepting that. That was something I think that I just couldn't tell myself.
Right. So I don't mean to turn this into like a psychoanalogical, like psychoanalysis or anything like that. But do you think that like when you were teaching, that there was a perception of yourself that you felt like there was a higher expectation that you had in yourself and you felt that you were not meeting that expectation, and that kind of like cycled your sense of like this and like not feeling your own authentic self is basically what I'm hearing. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that like that cycle of like high expectations, low perceived results, which led into, which fed the cycle?
Yeah, it was definitely a cycle. It was one of those things where I feel like I sound so obnoxious, but like the year I quit, I was nominated for Teacher of the Year in my county.
Right.
And it was the first year I could possibly be nominated. So mm-hmm. like you have to be a teacher for 5 years and then be nominated. And I did it right away.
Right. You're first ballot.
Exactly. I lost to a dude who's good at skateboarding. So like, I couldn't be upset about that.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. But yeah, there was just this realization that I wasn't doing my best, and to do better, I needed to put in more effort, and that effort was so exhausting too. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like there was just so many different battles going on all at once, not just with me, but also just in terms of education itself, the mm-hmm. political nature of it too.
Because a lot of people connect to their work, especially men, that identity piece is very important in connection to our happiness. But once it leaves, it can be hard to get back. And it resulted as to why Garrett had to leave.
So I spent 3 years at my first school, and then I left for what I perceived was going to be my dream job. It was going to be a full-time creative writing teacher at a performing arts high school, mm-hmm. which is a position that I don't think exists in most places.
No, not in most places. Not unless you have like a very art educated or like a very art influenced community. But yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. And so, you know, I switched jobs, and you know, I sat down and I got home and I'm like, all right, this is it. I'm good. Like, I'll be here for the rest of my career. I've got, you know, 40 more years. I can do this.
Right.
And you know, after the second year, I didn't acknowledge it, but I wasn't being myself. I wasn't being true to myself. Mm. I started gaining weight. My antidepressants, you know, just kept going up and up in terms of prescription strength. And, you know, I slept all the time. So I'd come home at 2 o'clock and sleep until 6. And I knew that I wasn't doing as good a job as I could. Mm-hmm. And I also knew I just didn't have the energy to do better.
Right.
And that was something really hard for me to accept, that I can do better and I'm not putting my best in. And I just don't know if it is going to be possible in this career.
To be clear, this is not the same reasoning that I left. I left because, honestly, I couldn't find a job. And so I did other things to pass the time and to make a living. I ended back to education because it was something I still find a passion. And the passion I see sometimes, it's the kind of the same thing Garrett sees.
That's probably one of the biggest problems in just the educational structure, at least in the U.S., is that we underestimate students so much. And by underestimating them, we give them sort of these standardized tests, and we're not really teaching them these skills that are far more beneficial.
Yeah.
And, you know, to hit on your point about them being super perceptive, and they're just so bright and mm-hmm. also hilarious.
Yes. True.
Like this, they have no filter at times,
mm-hmm.
and they'll say something in a classroom and I'll have to just walk out in the hall and just laugh because I'm like, you should be in trouble for that.
Everyone in the education system can see the flaws in it. And for some reason, find it hard to make a change. In this province especially, we found that teachers and educators are being made to be the villains. So it's hard to have an education discussion when there's this level of toxicity in it already, this animosity. I personally stand by the educators, and the system needs to be revoked. Education is a right for all, and it has to be the right education for everyone, not the same education. It is something that can be made better, but it will take all of us. I promise I will continue this conversation because there's a lot more to say. That was our show for today. Thank you so much to Garrett Carlson from the website Dude Influencer. You can find Dude Influencer at dudefluencer.com. So dudefluencer.com. Dudefluencer. If you want to hear extra Modern Manhood content, go to patreon.com/modernmanpod and sign up for a $3 tier to get access to Modern Manhood Extra. Hope you have an amazing day. Hope you have an amazing week. And hope you stay safe and healthy. My name is Herman Vijaygas, and we'll see you next time on Modern Manhood.